Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. Today, we bring you this special report on Andrew's second trip to Uganda. On this episode, Andrew will give a summary of the projects this ministry is involved with in Uganda. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, we are having another special program where I've been highlighting this week how that the Word of God is just transforming people's lives around the world, and we've been focusing on Uganda. I hope that you've got an opportunity to watch these programs. You know, typically, I'm a teacher, and I just get on here, and I mean within seconds of the start of this program, I'm teaching the Word of God, and I minister to you, and we see people's lives changed every single day of the world. And that's basically what I do. So this is a departure for me, but I think it's important to have programs like this because, you know, I've quoted this a couple of times this week, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said he didn't just preach in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, if we were in a meeting together, I can guarantee I wouldn't just be speaking the word, but I would be praying for people. We'd be operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'd see blind eyes open, deaf ears open, miracles happen. You know, just the last meeting that I was at, I think we had two or three people come out of wheelchairs, people with arthritis, people with multiple sclerosis. We had people that had canes, dropped them. I had one woman come up and give a testimony that she had a knot on the back of her head, and I had called out somebody that had a knot on their head. She said it was about the size of her fist, and she hit it with her hair. And I prayed with her, and she said when I laid hands on her and prayed for her, she didn't feel a thing, but she left believing that God had healed her. And when she got out to the parking lot, before she could get in her car, she said it was like a bolt of lightning hit her. And it started burning, and I forget the exact details, but it was either for hours or a couple of days or something. This thing just burned, and it was totally gone. She never got any treatment for it, and this was a year later. She had come and told me it had never come back, and she was totally healed. Now, see, when I minister live, this is what I do. I not only minister the word, but we see people's lives change physically, emotionally, in all kinds of ways. But on our television program, I'm limited in how I can do that. And so I think it's important to take a week like this and to show you that the Word of God is changing people's lives. And specifically in Uganda, we've been highlighting those testimonies. But God has just turned the doors wide open for this ministry. I believe one of the reasons is because there's a tremendous amount of evangelism that goes on, these large crusades. Lots of people have been reached. The vast majority of people, I think it's about 80% of the population of Uganda, claim Christianity. Now, those aren't truly born again, but it's the dominant religious culture. They have Christianity, trappings of Christianity, but there isn't the depth, there isn't the teaching. And I mean, you know, and I say the same thing is true in the United States, the same thing is true in England, and just everywhere I go, I really believe that teaching and establishing people in the truths of God's Word is what's missing in the body of Christ today. But if you compare the U.S. or England or some of these European countries to what's going on in Africa, I mean, it makes America look like we are spiritual giants as far as the knowledge of God's Word. There is a lack of understanding the truths, the details, especially of God's grace in Uganda. And I believe that this is the reason that the Lord has opened up the doors to this ministry. And I've been sharing with you how we've gone all the way from the president and the first lady of Uganda down to the little mountain villages that where we've ministered. And we see just across the board people's lives being transformed by the Word of God. We have multiple testimonies of people that have been raised from the dead. This one man in Kampala, Uganda, he heard me give the testimony of my son being raised from the dead. And after hearing me and seeing that there was nothing special about me and that, you know, I'm not like some ministers that come in a helicopter or come in a caravan a bunch of cars that whisk you in and whisk you out. And here I was just visiting with people, and I was normal. He heard me give a testimony about how God flowed through me, and this man said, if God can do that through Andrew, he can do it through me. And he saw a man who had been dead for 2 days raised from the dead. I mean, we are seeing miraculous, miraculous results. And so this discipleship program is literally changing the lives of people. The very first group of people that went over and started sharing this discipleship program was Leland Shores, who I've had his video on our program all of this week. And then also we had Peggy Hoff that was over there. And we had a number of other Bible college graduates that have been helping them. But those were the ones. Peggy was operating primarily in Rwanda. But they took this program, and the first wave of discipleship evangelism reached around 800 pastors on a weekly basis. And then these pastors would go back to their churches, and there was around, I think it was 60-something thousand people that these 800 pastors reached, and they started discipling them. Their churches began to start experiencing revival and growing. This one woman who I mentioned yesterday on our program, a woman named Grace, who was very legalistic and condemning, and her church had gone down to where it was, I don't know, around 50 people or so. She got set free so much that she saw a man raised from the dead, and her church has now grown to 1,600. And there are many of these people that are pastoring multiple churches. And so anyway, they reached over 60,000 people a week. Then the second wave of discipleship evangelism has taken many of those people who graduated from the first round of discipleship. And in 2008, they went out and there was around, I forget the number now, but I know it was over 2,000, maybe 2,500 pastors that were being discipled in the second wave of discipleship that took place in 2008. And they in turn went back to their churches and reached over 250,000 people on a weekly basis. Now in 2009, they are going to begin the next level. And I don't even have those stats, but, you know, at the rate that it's been growing, it could be 5,000 pastors impacting 1 million people. I don't know what the results is. But this discipleship evangelism is just going out. Now, we've also diversified, and Leland Shores, who started this first group, has now been taking pastors and taking our first year Bible curriculum, and he's taking predominantly the pastors that have already been through the discipleship evangelism course, and they're wanting more, and they're wanting to go even deeper in the Lord. And he took our first year curriculum and over a period of 2 or 3 months taught it to these pastors like 8 hours a day and just immersed them in this teaching. And I tell you, the response of that is tremendous. It is tremendous. Matter of fact, let me make this point. I mentioned this 2 years ago when I gave a report, but this bears repeating, that Pastor Webster, his name is actually Carl Webster, but I've always called him Webster, and he's been my interpreter. He's the one that helps Leland Shore and interprets for him and travels with him, and he works full-time for our ministry. But Pastor Webster, after I was ministering in this one place, I can't pronounce the name of it. It was one of these little villages, and we were in a building that only had half of a roof on it, and it was something. The people were so hungry, sitting on these little planks, a 1x6 or 2x6 planks, and the people were so hungry. And after I ministered, and I mean, we were seeing people change. We saw some awesome miracles happen. I remember Pastor Webster turning around and sticking his finger right in front of my face in front of all of these people. And he started speaking to me that, you know what, you and Don Crow, the man who helped me develop this discipleship evangelism program, he says, you're responsible for this. You started this. You have brought us to this level. You've seen the testimonies. Now you can't desert us. You've got to help us go to the next level. You've got to continue the work that you've begun in this country. Now, that happened to me in 2007, and I guarantee you, I didn't take that as the word of Pastor Webster. I took that as a word from God. I really felt like that was God. And so, from 2007 and 2008, man, we've increased. We've doubled our amount of time we were on television. We went from just a morning television broadcast to a morning and evening primetime television broadcast in Uganda. We have opened up a bookstore. We now have multiple graduates of our Bible school that are there doing all kinds of things and going out. They are continuing the discipleship evangelism program, but they have also expanded it so that now we are doing these things where we, in a 3-month time, are basically giving the entire first year curriculum to the pastors who want to go deeper. We are doing a lot of ministry to people through our bookstore. And in January of 2010, we're opening up our Bible college there in Kampala. And of course, it's too soon to tell exactly what the response to that is. But when we had our ministers conference in Kampala in July of 2008, we had well over 1,200 people. I think it was somewhere between 1,200 and 2,000 pastors that showed up. And I tell you, the hunger there, this is going to be a tremendous opportunity. And so all of these doors are opening to us. I also shared with you about how that we are helping this Bishop Francis that's in Kasese. Well, this Bishop Francis had intended on coming to Kampala and being a part of that minister's conference, but he was unable to go because a relative of his, I forget the exact connection, had just been burned alive that week. He had lied about something. Again, I forget all of the details, but anyway, he had lied about his wife and he had beaten her, I think, to death. And he had said that somebody else had done it. Well, as the story unfolded, it turned out he had beaten his own wife to death and tried to say that it was somebody else. And they don't have a real strong police presence out in this town. And so when the town people found out what happened, they just caught him and burned him to death right in the public center. This is the situation in some of these towns. And you know what? The Word of God is penetrating into this darkness. I mean, we have the potential of literally turning a nation around. You know, my very first trip over to Uganda, Leland Shores, again, the man who is our representative there in running this project, he actually had a woman that he talked to. And he interviewed her, and this woman, her and her friend, were up in the very northern part of Uganda. And, you know, Uganda has gone through Idi Amin, and I forgot the one that was right after him, but he was just as bad or worse. And this is where, you know, there were hundreds of thousands of people killed and bodies just thrown into open pits. And I mean, there isn't a single person over there that hasn't experienced some of these problems. Matter of fact, there's a Bishop Herbert that's in Kampala that I've ministered at his church a couple of times now. He has about 2,000 people, and I've ministered there a couple of times. And we've helped support him and be a part of his work. And Bishop Herbert was a man who, when he was, I think, only 4 years old, was with his aunts because his parents had already died of AIDS. At one time, Uganda had over a 60% AIDS rate in that nation. It's now been brought down, I think, to around 6 to 10% because primarily of the influence of the First Lady and teaching of abstinence and a revival that's taken place in that nation. So it's a tremendous testimony. They're making progress. There's great things happening. But Bishop Herbert's parents had died of AIDS. He was actually being raised by an aunt. And he was with her and some other family members one day when some of Idi Amin's people came through and just started killing people. And they shot his aunt and she fell down. And he thought it was a game. He was only like 4 or 5 years old. And so he laid down and his aunt wasn't dead yet. And she told him, play dead. Don't act like you're alive. Don't move. And so he played dead and they killed all of those family members. And Bishop Herbert laid there for a long period of time playing dead. Finally, an hour or two later, some of the men came through and found out that he was alive and they were getting ready to kill him. And as they did, some of the rival factions started shooting at them. And so his life was preserved. And I think it was Idi Amin himself came up, found out that this boy was alive, took him and put him in the hospital and used him as bait and put out the word for any relatives to come get him. And what they were going to do was going to kill him and his relatives when they came to the hospital to claim him. But there was a Christian lady in the hospital who was a family member who allowed him to escape. And anyway, now Bishop Herbert is probably 40 years old or something. And these are the kind of things that he lived through. Well, Leland actually meant a woman who in the northern part of Uganda, it's now under better control than it was in 2007. But around 2006, there were still some rebel groups operating up there that it was just totally, you were taking your life in your hands to go into that area. And there were two girls up there who were Christians. And because of their Christian witness, they were taken by these rebels. And they are cannibals, and they ate one of those girls right in front of the other one. They killed her, and without cooking her or anything, raw, ate her. And they started to eat the second girl. They cut her leg off and cut flesh off of her body right under her arms on both sides. And for some reason, it's just like God turned her flesh to where it was toxic. They ate it in front of her. They were eating her while she was alive. And yet it was so bitter that they finally just threw this flesh down, threw her in a ditch with one of her legs cut off. And this woman laid there for a couple of days, was finally able to crawl someplace. Anyway, had survived it, and she was missing a leg, but she was alive. And she was giving this testimony to Leland of the kind of things that had gone on there. This is the kind of darkness that is going on in that area. Now, I don't mean to paint it like Uganda is a terrible place, because again, there has been a tremendous move of God there. I tell you, in many ways, they are to be envied. In many ways, those people are now more turned on to God. There is a stable government there. There's good things happening. I'm just saying that there is plenty of darkness to go around, and God has given us an opportunity to shine the light of His gospel right into the midst of this darkness. And I tell you, we're doing it. We're doing it with everything we know. You know, I've mentioned this briefly, but again, I want to say that our plans are to open up a Bible college in 2010, and we're going to start off in downtown Kampala, probably in the same building where our bookstore is. And I tell you, that is so visible. It is going to be tremendous. I think that's going to be great. We will reach a lot of people. But there is a possibility to actually get a compound there and to open up a ministry center, because through this discipleship evangelism, Leland Shores has gone. He's taken me to a number of these places like Idudi and Kasese and Namiango. And I'm sure that's not the right way to pronounce that, but I've been to a lot of these places, in Busi Island, where you have to take a 2 or 3 hour canoe ride to get over to the island and reach these remote people. And he has gone to, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 different places outside of Kampala, way out into the country of Uganda. And anyway, because of this, we have people all over the nation of Uganda and into Rwanda. I forget the number of people, but there was hundreds of people that graduated from our discipleship evangelism course in Rwanda, which also was it experienced a tremendous slaughter of people in just the previous few decades. And there are pastors from all of these places that have had their lives changed. And I mean, they are now beginning to go out and start teaching the Word of God and see people's lives change. But many of them, they don't have any formal education. They don't have any Bible education beyond what we have given them in this little brief discipleship evangelism course. And even though that's wonderful, many of them are crying out for more. And we actually see the opportunity and the possibility of having a compound in the Kampala area where pastors from all over these places come. And we've now changed our Bible school curriculum into a format that can be taught all day long for just a 2, 3, maybe 4 month maximum period of time. A pastor could come and basically get a year's worth of Bible school training in a 4 month period of time, which would enable them to go back into these places and reach their people with the gospel. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I know that many of you, it sounds like Uganda is on the other side of the world, and it literally is for many of us. But these are people that God created. They're people that have lived through tragedies and heartbreaks that are beyond what any of us can talk about. And here I am asking you to be a part of it. And some of you are thinking, well, this is a hard time for us. You know, we're in an economic downturn, and you may feel like, well, what do I have to give? You know, you need to remember this. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul was talking about the people in Macedonia, and he says, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. You know, most people think this is opposite, that if you're struggling, well, then you aren't going to give and reach out and help anybody else because you have problems yourself. I tell you, most Ugandans would love to have your problems. Most Ugandans would love to have your poverty. You know, regardless of how bad the media presents things, the truth is, most of us in America, those of you watching across England and Europe, we live in a level of prosperity that 90% of the world doesn't even dream of. And I just want to encourage you, during this period of time where many people are crying wolf, acting like Chicken Little, talking about how the sky is falling, you need to remember that we still are the most blessed, prosperous people that have ever walked on the face of the earth. Many of us, you know, if you spend $4 or $5 a day on Starbucks, and I'm not against Starbucks, you can spend $10 a day there if you want to. I'm just saying that, you know what, we are a $3 a day gift would be $100, close to $100 a month. Man, that would underwrite many of these projects that we're doing. There are people watching this program that I guarantee you, you could give and you could make a difference, not only in Uganda, but we are beginning to go on TBN all across Russia, where I will actually be preaching in Russian. We're going to open up offices there and accommodate the request and send out my materials in Russian. We now have my books translated into 17 languages. We've had 100,000 orders from China for my books in Mandarin Chinese. We are seeing the Lord open up doors. We're opening up a Bible school in Hungary in 2009. In India, we're having a great response. We got a number of our Bible college students over in India. But you know, in most of these countries, we are having to fund those things from the states. And I'm just asking you straight up to let your deep poverty, relatively speaking, but in the truth, we are blessed and every one of us can do things. I'm asking you to pray about this and let God speak to you and become a part of helping us do all of these things around the world. You know, God has blessed these Western nations that are watching this program. God has blessed us with prosperity that has been unprecedented in previous generations and previous centuries. We are blessed, not just so that we can consume it upon ourselves, but so that we can be a blessing. And I want to make it clear, I'm not asking for money for myself. You know what? This isn't going to influence my salary. It's not going to do anything. I don't fly around in $25 million jets. I'm not against it. People can do what they want to. I'm just telling you, I am not spending this money on me. I don't live in a $1 million home. I don't drive cars that are overly expensive and things like that. I mean, I'm blessed. I'm not preaching poverty, but I'm saying I am wanting this money to be able to reach people around the world to make a difference. And this ministry is doing it. We're now reaching over 2.2 billion people around the world, and we are making a difference. We'd like you to be a part of it. Please listen as our announcer gives you some information, and please call or write today.
If you'd like to help us take the almost too good to be true news around the world, won't you make the best gift possible today? To those who'll make a donation of any amount, we'd like to send the condensed version Discipleship Evangelism course. This course consists of 48 lessons on CD and a companion workbook. It's been used to impact Uganda and other missions around the world in a powerful way. We know it will change your life too. This tool has been designed so that anyone, at any time, anywhere, can reach an unbeliever, disciple a new believer, or grow with others in the Lord. Request product T417 when you contact the ministry. As a bonus, we'll also include a DVD of this week's special Uganda programs. Perhaps you'd like to become a regular monthly partner with Andrew's ministry. Partners are those who give on a monthly basis. If this sounds like you, please call or write and ask about partnership.
I know that many of you have been blessed by today's program. God spoke to you, and I would really like to encourage you to call our helpline. We have that number on your screen. And not only could you get these materials, which I really think they would help you, but you know, there are people there that can pray with you. I was just having lunch today with some of our prayer ministers, and I tell you, they love what they're doing. This is a calling from God, and they are doing a great job. We're seeing great miracles happen. So if you call, you not only can speed up the delivery of these materials, but people would love to pray with you and minister to you. They're very qualified to do it. So we have that number on your screen. I encourage you to call and not only get the product, but also ask for prayer.
You can use your credit card to donate by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Any surplus donations designated for Uganda projects will be used for general ministry expansion. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to give all the men watching a special invitation to join me on February the 5th through the 7th here at our headquarters in Colorado Springs for a men's advance. We're going to have big 6'7" Dave Hinton leading praise and worship. And I tell you, he was just at our ministers conference and he stole the show. He is awesome. I'm going to be teaching the word. Also, Wendell Parr, the director of our Charis Bible College, will be ministering. We have a lot of fun activities and chili suppers, and I think we're going to go bowling, and it's just a great, great time, and we always see men's lives change. So remember that this is February the 5th through the 7th, right here at our headquarters in Colorado Springs.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance, February 5th through the 7th, Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
If you live holy, God doesn't love you more. If you live unholy, God doesn't love you less. God's love for you is not based on your performance, but it's based on what Jesus did for you. And if you put your faith in Jesus, then you are accepted by God on the basis of what Jesus did and your acceptance of that, not based on your goodness. All of that is absolutely true. But does that mean that we just therefore don't have to seek the Lord, don't have to do anything, it doesn't matter about what happens? No, and that's what this teaching is going to explain, is that the way your heart goes affects your relationship with God. Here's another way of saying it. Holiness will not make God love you more. A lack of holiness won't make God love you less, but holiness, seeking God, will cause your heart to be more sensitive towards God.